So, those of you who have read the passages, when the question comes, you will be able to answer it very clearly. And I'm happy that we also read the passage again this evening. Now, today's message, which we have taken from the book of John, chapter 15 or 14, and part of chapter 16, is the last in the series, which we have been covering over 3 Sundays today, on what Jesus said about himself. And let us look at, so far, what did Jesus say about himself? First Sunday, we said, he said he's a true path. And he said over there, let us say together, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Brother Evans, in his message then, even gave us a formula. Who remembers the formula? Okay. Jesus plus equals nothing. I hope you are very clear about that statement which Jesus made about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one else. If you don't even know where I'm going, I mean, Jesus said, without me, no one can go to the Father. It means that if we don't have Jesus Christ in our life, we cannot get to the Father. And as we continue the series, last Sunday, Jesus again mentioned something about himself, true growth. And he said in that passage we read last week, I am the vine. You are the branches. In his discussion with his disciples, Jesus stated that unless we remain in him and he is in us, we will not bear much fruits. Without Christ, we can do nothing. In verse 6 of that passage we read, Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruits. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Rick also, in the message which he pointed out, told us that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, there were 9 fruits of spirits that he mentioned. Those are the 9 fruits of spirits which is mentioned: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My prayer to us this evening is that we will be able to abide in the Lord and allow him to remain in us so that we may be able to bear these fruits which everyone who surrounds us, whether in our home or outside on the streets or in our workplaces, will know that we are in the Lord. Before we go further today to see what Jesus said about himself today, I want to make this request. Can we close our eyes, please? And I want you to assume that you are going away from your family to a foreign land for a very, very long time. What are the things you will do or say as you prepare to depart from your family? Okay, I believe we've now had a good thought about that question. Can people share? Who is prepared to share now? What will you do, or what will you say as you prepare to go for, say, 9 months, 1 year from your family? Anybody? Pardon?
Please keep in touch.
Okay. But how do they keep in touch? Skype, okay. Yes, what else will we do?
Behave yourself with your mom.
Behave yourself with your mom. Okay, that's to your daughters or children.
And especially to my sons.
Okay, to your sons. Good. Pardon?
I love you.
I love you. Okay. What else? Okay. Prepare a place for me when I come back.
Stay strong.
The Lord's presence will continue with you whilst I'm away.
Okay. Yes, what else?
I'm going to miss you.
You're going to miss me?
I'm going to miss them.
Pardon?
You send me a poster card?
Okay, let me tell you one thing my wife does for me when she's going to Nigeria for, say, 3 months. She will cook. She will cook some spinach, meat, stew, say, for at least 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and we'll put everything in the freezer so that I wouldn't have to bother myself cooking food, at least before she comes back. And then she will also give me a mobile telephone number, contact number in Nigeria, to say, if there is anything, please ring this number. Jesus Christ had been having discussion with his disciples. Let us now see. Jesus Christ knew he was going away from his family. Let us see, what did Jesus Christ do? We have seen what we will do in our own case when we are going away from our family, but what did Jesus do when he was about to leave his family? This passage we have read in John chapter 14 and part of chapter 16 is a discussion, it's a farewell discussion, as we will call it, or farewell conversation he had with his brothers and with his disciples. As Jesus Christ found that he would be departing from his family, he told his disciples the many difficulties they will have to face because he will no longer be there with them. He told them that they should not expect such an easy life because everyone was focusing on Jesus Christ while he was with them. But now that he will no longer be there with them, he told them, you will find difficulties. And because he was talking to his disciples about the possibility of not coming back, the disciples were very sad, were very disappointed, and they are worried. And because of their worry, Jesus Christ told them in verses 1:27 and verses 28 of John chapter 14, don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me. I give you my peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that this world can give. So, don't be worried. You've already heard me say that I am going and that I will also come back to you. If you really love me, you should be glad that I am going back to the Father because he is greater than I am. So, Jesus Christ gave them encouraging words, as we will do with our families when we are traveling. When they escort us to the airport, and we, before you go to the final departure lounge, you will hug them, you will kiss them, you will give them all the necessary information how to get in contact with you, and give them reassurance that they should not worry. Because the person who they depend upon will no longer be with them, aren't we going to be worried ourselves as family? Because your husband is going to be, you always contact with her or with him all the time, or with her, your wife. If you are going away and suddenly the relationship is broken for a period of time, when he is gone, they will have no one else to relate to, no one else to depend on their day-to-day direction and purpose. And that is why Jesus Christ reassured his disciples that he will give them peace, the type of peace which he promised them. In the world of today, is there any peace around in the world today? Not a lot of peace. I don't think there's any room for peace in the world today. And the reason why there was no peace in the world today is because of hatred. There is selfishness. There is bitterness. There is malice. There is gossip. There is anxiety and fear everywhere. It is only when we have Jesus Christ in our lives that we have that peace. Jesus Christ does not only promise them his peace, but he also promised them his love, his joy. And we will remember that earlier on we have the fruits of the Spirit. And love, joy, and peace are one or three of the major parts of the fruits of the Spirit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Again, Jesus said. The second thing Jesus Christ did when he was about to go was he gave them a promise that the people or his disciples can believe in. The promise that will remove any anxiety they may have. The promise that will remove any uneasiness in their lives. And the promise that will remove sadness in their lives. This promise Jesus Christ made to reassure them that it will be fine. Don't worry, it will be fine. That even though Jesus Christ said that even though he's going away, or they will be filled with grief, his going is very, very vital for their survival. Because if he did not go, then they will not have the promise which he had made to them. Unless he goes, the promise will not be fulfilled. He reassured them that He will never leave them without the necessary support. That's what we want from our families when we are in difficulties or when we are going away. The necessary support that He will send with them will be at every place at all the time. Because while Jesus was alive with them, He was only in one place at a time. But because He's going away, wherever the children of God is going to be, Jesus is going to be with them. It may be in Hackney, Jesus Christ is with us. We may go to Nigeria, Jesus Christ will be in Nigeria. We may go to China, Jesus Christ will be there. Jesus Christ will be everywhere. And that's what the promise is all about. So what is this promise? And what will be the fulfillment of the promise when it comes? Jesus pointed out or promised them in John chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of Truth. So, those of us who have been reading the Bible that has gave to you as an assignment, what are three things that the Spirit will do when it comes? There are three basic things it did mention. One is teachers. I know, okay, that's one thing, but the Bible says, specifically said in chapter 4:16, there are three basic things he did mention that will happen when the Spirit comes. It will convict us of sin, convict us of righteousness, and convict us of judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Can we say it together? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. So, the Spirit of Truth will convince us, the people of the world, that they are wrong about sin. That they are wrong because the world did not believe in Jesus. The Spirit will convict or convince them that we have acted against His direction and the Spirit will convince us of the corrupt nature of sin. When we sin, what is the consequence of sin? Death. Secondly, the Spirit of Truth will convince us, the people of this world, of Christ's righteousness. Jesus was not a bad person or a deceiver, but He is a righteous man. And we know that His righteousness is demonstrated because He went to the Father, and where did He sit at the Father's? On His right-hand side. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit shall convince the world or convict the world of the judgment of the prince of this world. Who is the prince of this world?
The devil.
The devil will be judged. That's what the Bible says. He was discovered to be a great deceiver and a destroyer, and that's why he was banished from heaven. With the judgment against the prince of this world, it is an indication that Jesus Christ is stronger than Satan. Hallelujah for that. Now, let us look at some of the other things that the Holy Spirit will do when we allow Him in our lives. I've given a piece of paper to some people in the congregation. And if you have the first one, Can you read the first passage, please? Number one.
John 16, verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He won't speak on his own, but will say whatever he hears and will proclaim to you.
So that is one indication of the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It will guide us in what? All truth. Second reading.
Acts 11:28. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire known world.
Okay, thank you. Which means that the Spirit will show us things to come. Third reading.
John 16:14. You will glorify me because it is for me that you will receive what you will make known to you.
Good. The Spirit will bring glory of Christ to us. Fourth reading. Good, thank you. That is the Spirit, because we human beings, we are unfaithful, we are not pure, but when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit will teach us what to say, how to say it, how to pray. And the fifth thing, or scripture reading,
Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Thank you. God's Spirit joins with us and bears witness in whatever we are doing. Guidance into all truth, bring glory to Christ, show things to come, and teaches us how to pray and bear witnesses to in us. All throughout this passage of reading, Jesus Christ was giving the children or his disciples encouragement about what will happen and that they should not fear, they should not be afraid, but have peace. All the things that belongs to Father is mine. Jesus confirmed that in his discussion with his disciples. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Now, let us look at some of this evidence that we have if we have the Holy Spirit in us. As children of God, when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, there should be some evidence of it, which people will see in our day-to-day activities. Because in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you, and you will see to it that you follow my laws and keep all the commands I have given to you. The such evidences that we will see as Christians in our lives that we have the Holy Spirit inbuilt in us is behaving exactly as Jesus Christ behaved. How did Jesus, if somebody asks you, how did Jesus behave while he was on earth, what will be some of the answers you will give?
Humility.
Healing.
Merciful.
Compassionate. Love unconditional. So, all those evidences, are we making sure that it appears in our lives? Are we humble when we relate to our brothers and sisters? Do we love uncompassionately our brothers and sisters? Do we act carefully in the way we talk to people in our society. If we are able to do that, that is an evidence that we have the Spirit or the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Other signs of behavior that will evidence the Spirit in our life is stated in 2 Peter, and I want you to write this down so that you can go home tonight and read it carefully, because I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a long list of things that it says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, it says, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Those are some of the evidences you will find in your life. Another set of behavior or characteristics that will not be present in your life if you are children of God and you have the Holy Spirit amongst you on yourself is in Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. It is a long list of behaviors again. So I will encourage you to read it, Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. And some of them is listed as sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever you feel it is good for you to do, drug use, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, conflict, selfishness, jealousy, and drunkenness. Those are some of the things which we are not supposed to have in our lives if we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when we have the Holy Spirit working and operating effectively in our life, we refer again back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, which lists all the fruits of the Spirit. And again, I want to encourage you to read it again when you get back home. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Today, in our fears and anxiety, Jesus is encouraging every one of us in our midst tonight. Don't be worried. Have faith in me. The peace that we will have in Jesus Christ is not the type of peace of this world. What Jesus wants from you and myself is to keep our eyes fixed on Him from the beginning to the end. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to the end. Jesus promised His disciples that although He is going away to the Father, He will send them a representative. His representatives who will be equal, have equal authority or have equal identity with Him, so that they would not have to fear at all. When I was preparing for this message, I looked at various Bible translations to see what how the Holy Spirit was described. And here are the lists I found. In New King James Bible version, it is called a helper. In the Amplified Bible, it's referred to as an intercessor, advocate, and strengthener. In the Message, The word counselor means friend. In the Living Bible, it's called a comforter. In the Common English Bible, it's referred to as a companion. And in the Greek Bible, it's referred to as parakletos. And that is a double barrel word. Paral means alongside, and kletos means one who is designed or designated to you. So, we can use any of these words to mean the same thing. And I want you to let us look at our lives carefully this evening. Let us look at our attitude and our behaviors and our character. Let us make a checklist of all these characters and behaviors, and let us see whether we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in ourselves. Let us ask each other, or myself or yourself, ask, am I just a Christian by name only? Or do I have close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? With the Holy Spirit as your helper, as your intercessor, and as your advocate, as your strengthener, as a companion, and as a comforter, if you allow them to dwell in you, you will never ever face the future alone. Wherever we go on our journey of this world, it will lead us. It will be there by our side. Whether we are sleeping, whether we are eating, or talking to our neighbors, the Holy Spirit will always be with us. In March 1912, C. Austin Miles wrote a song in the garden, name as the garden. If you get back home tonight, Google In the Garden. And in the chorus of the song, it says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarried there, none other has ever known. The Holy Spirit will walk with you. The Holy Spirit will talk with you. The Holy Spirit will say, you are mine. You don't need to be afraid. The world around you may be falling down into pieces. Stay calm. Be at peace. Are you ready to have the Holy Spirit in your lives tonight? Do you want the Holy Spirit to be with you so that you can deal with all the issues that may come your way this week? He is your comforter. He is your companion. He is someone who will come along you and walk with you every day of our life. Can I invite the music group back, please? Because we want to sing a song which says, come, come, Holy Spirit, come. But before we do that, can I ask us all together just to be quiet a bit? And we will read this prayer together as we invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. We will read it together, but just put the first slide on first, and then when I say, we'll read it together. This is a prayer by Karl Barth. And I want us to read it prayerfully together, asking the Holy Spirit to come into our lives as we wait for the Holy Spirit to join us today and every day of our lives. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will walk with you. The Holy Spirit will talk with you. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, you are His own.